Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we are committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to our Tuesday night edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Joshua Von Wheeler and Johnny Danger. And tonight is another big show. We got Mr. Wrestling 2, Randy Rose, and Todd Howard, who is the promoter from LN Promotions, which is the promoter putting on the Mr. Wrestling 2 Classic this Saturday at North Cobb High School. So they'll be calling in about 10 minutes. I know, Josh, you had some things you wanted to talk about, so go for it.
Yeah, so basically I'm sure most everybody, well, even if you don't know, I know you guys know, and I know some people on Facebook know. Hell, I've been hit up by like 15 people on Facebook that I didn't even know in the past like 2 weeks, or well, 2 days. Sunday, ECWE ran a show, and Wrestlers Court, in the full disclosure, like to, you know, throw out exactly what happened, and Mr. Hollywood Roger, you know, he kind of, you know, realized that maybe it's a little too much to try to be doing everything like he was doing, and he contacted me. We actually had a conversation a week prior when I came to visit up in Georgia, and he contacted me Monday afternoon and asked me if I would be willing to kind of run the business aspect of the company. And, of course, I said, you know, well, here's what I'm thinking. And we came up with the idea that I would be the brand manager and I would start, you know, slowly rebranding the company. And pretty much the way it is as of right now, ECWE will be 100% my vision, with Roger being the owner, operator, promoter. I will be running the business side of it, the branding, the social media. He'll still be doing a lot of the promoting, but it's all based on stuff that I come up with. And I will not be doing the booking, but I will be booking the talent. So if you want a job with the new ECWE, you have to come through me. And anyone that knows me knows I don't BS. So if you're interested and if you think that you can make money in the wrestling world, you hit up josh.wheeler717@gmail.com. You find me on Twitter, Josh Von Wheeler. You find me on Facebook at Joshua Von Wheeler, or you find me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram as also Joshua Von Wheeler. I got them all. And you send me some links, some resumes, some matches. I know I just told Johnny off air that Johnny Danger's on the short list of guys that I'd like to work with. Now a lot of people are like, oh, well, you want to use Johnny Danger, so it must not be too hard. Johnny Danger.
Very funny.
You may not be the greatest in-ring worker, but Johnny Danger is a character, and I see money in Johnny Danger. Don't worry, I'm not putting you in leather just yet. But and that's the whole thing. Is like what we want to do is real simple. We want to find a way to start from the bottom. We're not coming out of the gate saying, oh, we're going to draw 500 people our first show. We want to start from the ground up. We want to start a grassroots promotion that people in Georgia and especially in the Atlanta area can say, that's our promotion. The same way Beyond started in Rhode Island, the same way ECW started in Philadelphia, the same way that World Class started in Dallas, the same way that PWG started outside of L.A., we want to do the grassroots thing. We want to build our own talent. I'm not bringing in TNA guys. I'm not bringing in WCW guys. I'm bringing in the best of the best of the local indie scene because I want you guys to have a place to work where you don't have to fly yourself to Rhode Island, where you don't have to drive yourself to, you know, all the way down to the bottom of Florida. We want to do something good in Atlanta. I'll be flying from Tampa to Atlanta for the shows, but I don't expect you guys to have to do that. So if you are in Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, wherever, and you don't hate me, which I know a lot of people do, please, you know, at least send me your stuff and say, hey, we'd like to work. Now, the other thing is, I'm just going to throw this out there, I'm not guaranteeing money. This is going to be a promotion that's going to be a win-win for the promoter and the boys. Something that I discussed with Roger, and I'll say it right here, the boys have a lot of power in this business right now. This guaranteed money, I'm sure it's great for you guys. I mean, and some guys are like, well, you know, I only make 20 bucks. Well, yeah, you only make 20 bucks, but when there's 15 of you, 20 times 15 is a lot of money. You're going to be paid a percentage of the gate. We're doing it the old territory way. I just feel like that's the fair way to do it. It's the way to keep it, you know, a little bit, like I said, a relationship. And that's the thing we're going to be doing. We're building relationships. I'm already been talking to Rip Rogers at Ohio Valley Wrestling. I'm talking to some people this weekend in here in Florida. We're going to build relationships with other promotions. We're going to try to work with everybody. Yes, I'll even work with people that are associated with the dreaded PCW. That includes you, Johnny Danger. Because I don't have an issue with what goes on. It's just we want a good promotion that everybody can be happy about. And so that's what it all boils down to. I'll have more probably in the next few days, and then, you know, we'll be announcing the first main event of our first show and also naming the date of that first show here pretty soon as well.
You know, I will say,
any questions before we go on?
I just want to say, for all the fledgling bookers and promoters that we've had on the show, that's the best business pitch I've heard in a while.
Well, and again, like, I mean, it's not even that it's a pitch. It's just, you know, I 10 years ago, I started a company, and, you know, I had visions of grandeur and delusions of grandeur at the same time. I've learned a lot about business. I've learned a lot about promoting. I've learned a lot about wrestling in that time. But at the same time, in that, I lived a lifestyle that most people dream of living. You know, I was flying first class to the Philippines every other month. I was in the nightclubs every night helping promote events and things like that and building a hookah lounge from the ground floor. Like, I've learned a lot about business. And don't get taken the wrong way if you're listening to the show and you're at work and you're like, well, what do I know? I know this. In the restaurant business, the bar business, whatever, people make $213 an hour. Most dancers in the adult entertainment world pay the club to be there. So just think about that the next time you think that you're worth money. That's all I'm saying. I want you to prove to me you're worth money, and when you prove to me you're worth money and the crowds are showing up and we got a great, you know, organic, entertaining, phenomenal show – then you know what? It's going to show when you get your pay envelope.
Well, that's pretty big news, especially considering that promotion's fairly short history. How long have they even been running a year yet?
It was almost a year, and you know, and that's all these, like, and believe it or not, Roger, you know, he, again, may not be the wrestling guy, but he knows a lot of people in the community. He's very gregarious. He's a great people person. He loves kids and all this other stuff. I mean, he's so good with, like, that. And he just wants to put on a good wrestling show. It's just that's the thing is, like, but what he lacks in people in business skills, he makes up for the people skills. And that's the other thing that we talked about, and I'm going to say this right now on the show. the shows are not going – we're going to put a disclaimer on every poster. These shows will not be safe for children under 13. We are not doing a family show. We're doing a wrestling show. There might be some language. There might be some other stuff that happens, but we are building a wrestling show for wrestling fans. And honestly, my market is 16 to 30. That's the market I'm going after. I don't want little kids there. I really don't want the moms and the dads there. I want wrestling fans. I want loud, boisterous wrestling fans that want to see good action. I was at the show at UIW in when I was in Atlanta a few weeks ago. The fans were cussing me, but I wasn't allowed to cuss the fans. That's not going to happen with this new ECWE. It will not happen. If they cuss you, you cuss them right back.
Will it still be you, or is that still being determined?
What's that?
Are you still going to have it at the same venue, or is
as of right now, all the shows will be conducted at the Bradley Rec Center. That was part of me coming in, is that it is so close to the airport. I was told it's about 5-6 miles from the airport. I'll be able to fly in, rent a car, and go right to the building. So, and don't worry, everybody. I have plenty of flyer miles from when I used to fly to the Philippines, so I won't be spending too much of the budget on flying. And snarf, 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 just to let you guys know before you write a full disclosure about me.
All right. Well, I believe we've got Todd Howard on the line with us.
Yes, sir.
And do we also have Mr. Wrestling 2 and Randy Rose? Are they on the line with you?
I am in the honorable presence of Mr. Wrestling 2 and Randy Rose, Jonathan.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Well, we appreciate you guys calling in. How's everyone doing tonight?
Doing fine, thank you.
Hello, Mr. Wrestling.
Hello.
A few years ago, I got to interview you for Rampage Radio back in when Rampage Pro Wrestling was in business, and you locked me in a key lock. And I will never forget that to the day I die, because Mr. Wrestling 2, for those of you that don't know, used to use a finisher called the key lock, and I'm going to let him describe it to you a little bit more. And basically, he choked me out without even really applying too much pressure. So, Mr. Wrestling 2, if you'll explain to everyone what the key lock is and why that was one of your favorite moves to use.
What a key lock really is, it's a hole that you can get in but can't get out of.
And how do you apply that hold for some of the people that are listening?
Well, you hook the head and the arm, and you put pressure in the proper places, and like I said, you get in it, you can't get out of it. There's only one way that I know of to kill you, and that's to do it.
Tell us a little bit about this event this Saturday that you guys are doing.
What we're doing is a tribute to Mr. Wrestling 2. Basically, this is just a celebration of his career, and that's paying tribute to Mr. Wrestling 2 and the legacy of the wrestling industry. This is going to be Saturday at 6 p.m. is when the doors open. The show is at 7 p.m. We're holding it at the North Cobb High School Gym. And that's going to be 3400 Old 41 Highway, West, Kennesaw, Georgia, 30144. Once again, Saturday, team doors open, showtime of 7.
Now, this show is going to be, it's kind of like a tribute show to Miss Wrestling 2, and you guys have a lot of the legends on that show as well. What made you decide to do this tribute show and just kind of like explain that kind of process? And is any of the money going to the charities or anything, or how is this money being – is this all used into the show?
Well, first of all, we as an Ellen Promotion, we are a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're just doing this show to honor Mr. Wrestling too. What we're trying to do with this thing right here, it's just basically honor him and show how much we care about him and give back to him a little bit. This show, my partner Terry Lawler and myself, who are Ellen Promotions, along with our team, this was brought up last year kind of a snowball that gained momentum and bigger. And it's come to fruition, and we couldn't be more happy it turned out to be what it's going to be.
I noticed Steve Carino, who calls himself Mr. Wrestling 3, is part of the show. I've always been curious, and I've never seen or heard if this is the case, but was that sort of a name that was passed on to him, or does he just did he just take it for himself?
Well, I was fortunate to meet this young man in Hawaii, and he came up to me and asked me if we could use my name, and I said, no one can use my name. If you want to use your name, you can use it somewhere else or some other way. And he came up with Mr. Wrestling 3. Well, okay, as long as you stay with 3, don't come in with the 2, it's okay. But I worked out with him. He proved to me that he was quite a wrestler, and I enjoyed working out with him and showing him the ways of the life, and he had a few matches at Mr. Wrestling 3.
Actually, it's just to be clear on this, Mr. Wrestling 2 and Mr. Wrestling 3 captured the tag team titles in Hawaii together. So that is one thing where they did wrestle together, and they were both under the kids doing so. So that was definitely one of the big moments. Carino and Mr. T.
What promotion was that for in Hawaii?
That was under the care of Al Karasik.
Do you guys still have those titles?
Well, no. You know the old saying, you win some, you lose some.
Right.
And that's what happened to us.
Well, Randy, you are best known as a tag team wrestler, I suppose. Are you going to be in action this weekend?
Not in action anymore. Just had a hip replacement. But, yeah, you're right. I was best known as tag team. One part of the original Midnight Express. First off, it was me and Condry and Norvell Austin. That was the original. Then it wound up being me and Dennis Condry and Paul E. Dangerously, now called Paul Heyman. But we're all going to have a lot of talent there at this show. There's going to be people like Paul Orndorff, me, the Masked Superstar, Joyce Grable, Susan Green, going to be a bunch of the legends. And a lot of the new guys, too, are going to be wrestling in the ring. So it should be a fantastic show, and I'm just excited about being there. This is to honor one of the greatest guys ever to step foot in the ring in the state of Georgia. He held all kinds of Georgia belts, championships, tags, and just to be honoring this guy on Saturday night, May 3rd, at North Cobb High School is going to be a fantastic tribute to him and for all the people that's going to be involved in it, and the people, the fans are going to get their money's worth phenomenally. It's going to be a great show.
I agree. Mr. Wrestling 2 was my dad, one of my dad's favorite wrestlers, and all honesty, Randy Rose, when I was growing up, was actually you were one of my favorite wrestlers. Because I was a big fan of the old Jerry Lewis telethons, and you used to always appear on those every Labor Day, and I just became this huge Randy Rose fan because of that. Speaking of which, you two guys are legends and been in the business a long time. What do you guys think about the current wrestling product and especially like on the independent levels? And is there anybody you see out there that you really like and you you'd like to see more of them? Or do you guys even still watch wrestling to an extent?
Well, most of the time there, all I'm watching now, and I get a lot of people saying this too, is watching the old school stuff on YouTube on the computer. It came a long way, and it's hard to watch some of the stuff that they're doing nowadays. It's pretty unbelievable. But there's still a lot of good talent in the WWE, and there's a lot of stuff going on here. You still there? Sorry, we had a phone call coming in there.
Yeah, we're here.
Sorry
about that. But yeah, we were just talking about that. We were trying to watch it the other night, and there's a lot of different stuff going on. The only thing that I really hate in the business, of being in the business over 20 years, is all the territories are gone, and there's only one organization going on, so you can't go anywhere, and you'd have to go to New York, and that's the only place you're going to go. So we know they got all the talent, and that's the way it goes nowadays. But back in the days when we were doing it, it was every state had a different territory. Every state had different talent, and you didn't like who you were working for. You just went to another state and went with a partner or challenged whoever, But nowadays it's all one product, and that's all you got to go by.
So do you guys feel, and you can just, if I'm incorrect in even asking this, go right and let me know. Do you guys feel that Vince killed the territories, or do you think the territories just kind of ran themselves out of business trying to compete with Vince?
Well, I don't know. That's controversial over, whether or not Vince did the greatest stuff for wrestling or he did the worst stuff for wrestling. I guess in my book and Mr. Wrestling Pooh's book and some of the old school guys, we probably think that, we didn't go as sports entertainment. If you look at the YouTube matches nowadays, you can see what the old school wrestling was about. It was about wrestling in the ring. It wasn't about all the sports entertainment, classic writers telling you what to do in the ring and on the interviews and all that. It was from the top of our head, and it was pure talent straight in the ring. If you didn't have it in the ring, then you didn't get promoted or moved up to the number one ranks like Mr. Wrestling too, like I said. And that's another reason we're going to give him this classic on May the 3rd here, because he deserves it as one of the greatest wrestlers to ever step foot in a ring in the state of Georgia or anywhere, Mid-South, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi. He was one of the greatest ones. And like I said, there will never be another Mr. Wrestling too.
Oh, I agree completely. Mr. Wrestling too, you used to have a lot of classic 60-minute-plus matches. Is that something that you kind of miss, you've seen, is guys that can actually go 60 minutes in the ring?
I've done quite a few 60-minute devils. Let me tell you something, and they're no fun. That means you've got a lot of gas built up inside of you, because if you don't, you're going to run out of gas and be in trouble. And I'm talking about, I wrestled Lou Fizz, Pat O'Connor, Dick Hutton. And these guys are no guys that you play games with. You either have to hold your own or get the smut beat out of you, one way or the other. So anyway, but to tell you the facts of it, the wrestling did back then, and I'm talking about the 50s, the 60s, and 70s, it all of a sudden, things today is not the same. I don't want to express my opinion because it's not good. But let me tell you, I love wrestling. I've been in it for 33 years professionally. I got 4 years of amateur wrestling and 2 years of sumo wrestling. So let me tell you, hey, I've done it all. I loved it. I got the hell beat out of me sometimes, but that's okay. It's the name of the game.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your sumo wrestling background. I've heard a story about it before, but I don't know if Jonathan's ever heard it. So didn't you face a guy who was a much larger competitor than you?
Yeah, that was here in Hawaii. The manager brought the sumo champion over here. His name was Azuma Fuchi. He was 528 pounds. I weighed 190. Oh boy, yeah, big difference. I had the opportunity to work out with the man, and I had a bit of knowledge of the sumo wrestling, and needless to say, I couldn't wait to get in the ring with him. But gosh almighty, you can't believe the size of that man. And the size of that I was back at that time. But I tell you what, he I got into it. We went down to the sumo stance and everything to get our work out, our exercises, and we got back up, and I came in and hit him with everything I had, and all I did was beat his chest. He didn't move a muscle. He was tough, very, very tough. But I also had an opportunity to get into my skills, like in American Six-K-Fans, an amateur wrestling, and it was a different ballgame. He was now on my turf, as I was in his, but now he didn't have the ability to do things that he needed to do because he's on his fours. So it made things a little bit different. I came out looking pretty good, but nevertheless, he was still a man to deal with. But, you know, I'm looking forward to this big show that they're putting on for me now back in May 3rd. And it's a great honor, needless to say. And I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing all the fans here in Georgia. As you know, you perhaps know, I was very popular here. But I love everybody here. They were fantastic. Carrollton, I used to holler and scream about Carrollton. That was one of my favorite towns. And I'll be looking forward to seeing a lot of the fans from there. And that goes to Augusta, Macon, all the towns there. It makes me very happy and very pleased. And surprisingly, hopefully they'll come out and say hi to
them. Oh yeah, and I totally agree with that about the Georgia towns, and you guys both wrestled so many years in Georgia, and you know the scene is not what it was. I mean, it's just, you know, shows are you know happy when they draw 50 people. And it's a sad state of affairs, and that's why, like, you know, when I saw your show was popping up, I was so excited because it was like, okay, this is going to be a show that's going to get people out. This is going to get a show that's going to have people talking about wrestling in Georgia again. And it's an exciting time because you do see that there are starting to be some better promotions starting up. I let it know, like, who are your guys' favorite, you know, matches you've had in the Georgia area back in the day? And also, I know if you guys ever, you know, I'm not sure, Randy, if you ever worked for Jim Barnett. Pardon me for not, you know, knowing that. But Mr. Wrestling, too, you, I do believe, worked for Jim Barnett for many years. What was it like working for Jim Barnett as well, you know, in the Georgia area for so many years?
Oh, it was fine. I liked working for him. He was a man of his word. And, you know, anytime you work for the man, you could trust him and rely on him. And that means the whole thing in a nutshell. And as far as the promotion was concerned, I enjoyed that because they put me up against not just guys that are learning to wrestle, but big main event guys like Lucas, Gorgeous George, Wahoo McDaniels, and all these guys were big time, you know, and it was a lot of fun. Half of those guys are not here with us anymore, but that's unfortunate. But I tell you what, Georgia has always been, I've traveled all over the world, and Georgia is by far the best territory in the world as far as the people are concerned.
Oh, wow.
Jonathan, let me cut in here for 1 second, if you don't mind. This is Randy Rose.
Sure.
You were just asking about if I ever worked for Jim Barnett. That was the time that I was starting to train. But back then, I was behind the stages watching people like Bob Orton Jr., Ricky Gibson, Bobby Shane, Mr. Wrestling too. And I was learning back in those days from the Atlanta City Auditorium. I learned from Harley Race. I learned from Mr. Raskin, too. And back in those days, I never really worked with Jim Barnett and really went on to the Channel 17 situation there. But something that I'm really proud of, too, and one of the fans gave us probably about a year ago, came up to me and handed me a DVD, and I came home and watched it, and it was an actual retirement match with me and Mr. Wrestling 2 before he retired and moved to Hawaii. And that's one of my classic DVDs that I have on hand because I watched him when I was training, and I got to be his last match before he retired.
Oh, wow. I'd love to see that if it ever makes its way around YouTube or anything. That would be a classic match to watch. Now, who are some of the people that are going to be appearing on this show besides you guys as well, you know, and maybe if you guys want to run down the card or if Tom wants to run down the card or anything?
Well, like I said, the gentlemen have already touched base on a couple of these here. A lot of wrestling legends. You know, we're going to go, we have Paul Orndorff, of course, Mr. Wrestling 2, Randy Rose, the Masked Superstar, Jassot, so people know, you know, Bill Eadie is coming down here, which is very special to us too because Mr. Wrestling 2 and Masked Superstar had a lot of great matches here in Georgia. As mentioned before, we're going to have Steve Corino, who is Mr. Wrestling 3. We're going to have Joyce Grable. We're going to have Susan Green, who's making a long drive to come here. We're very honored that she's going to be here as well. Another thing we're going to be doing is we're going to have a lot of the local talent. We're trying to keep this based in Georgia, using the Georgia homegrown talent, supporting our state. You know, it's very important that, you know, as a promotion company that we give back to the fans, and we want to give the fans what they want, but at the same time, in honoring Mr. Wrestling too, a legend such as himself, it just brings back all those old school memories of how Georgia wrestling was. For instance, I was growing up, I remember, you know, the Saturday morning wrestling. I remember watching Joe Pettisino and Bobby Blackstone on Saturday nights for 7 to 8 hours. I mean, this is just the era of wrestling that I and Terry grew up in, and this is what we want to give back to the fans of something like this show.
No, I agree, and you mentioned the Joe Pettisino and Bonnie Blackstone. That's one of the things that, like, you know, I tell people, like, today that I know that, you know, I moved to Florida and everything, but people that I know that talk to, that, like, wrestling or whatever, it boggles their mind when I say, yeah, we used to watch 8 or 9 hours of wrestling, you know. We got, you know, all the major promotions, and, you know, we had the Sammy Kent Georgia promotions. We had all that, you know, and then for years we had all the local stuff that was on TV. I remember watching Mr. Wrestling 2 versus when Abdul popped into the box, and I think he beat you up, didn't he, Mr. Wrestling 2, when he popped into the box?
Abdul.
Well, Abdullah the Butcher, yes, we had some very outstanding matches. And also Superstar, we had some outstanding matches. I enjoyed every doggone one of them because the simple reason is that they gave me some competition.
Todd, you mentioned Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Of course, he recently made an appearance in WWE. But wasn't that long ago that he was dealing with some cancer issues. He looked good when I saw him on TV, but what is the status of that? Do you know?
I'm going to be honest with you, Jonathan. I currently do not know the exact status. I think Randy does. Let me turn that one over to him real quick.
Yeah, thing with Greg Price, I think, in 2011, and we was at the Atlanta Hilton, and we got to see Paul Orndorff there. As a matter of fact, me and Mr. Russell too were there, and we got to see him. And as you know, he's one of the Georgia greats, too. And our prayers are with him and everything. And I think he beat it because he was looking a whole lot better there at that thing in 2011. And I think he's totally through with the cancer. And thank God all that's done.
Randy, as you mentioned before, you've worked with two of the most notorious wrestling managers in the history of the sport, in Paulie Dangerously and Jim Cornette. I'm sure you've got some interesting stories there. Is there anything that jumps out that you might want to share?
Oh, my God.
Working with those guys?
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting stories. I don't know if we can tell them on the Internet or the computer or not. But, yeah, as you know, Paul Dangerously, basically me and Dennis Condrey, took him to the AWA and won the World Tag Belts. And I keep telling Paul to this day, when he calls me and stuff, is me and Dennis is the one that helped lead you, and now you're Paul Heyman. You won't even return my phone call. So what about that crap?
Is Johnny Danger still with us?
Yeah, I actually had a question. Randy Rose, I'm kind of a tag team wrestler myself, and being a tag team specialist such as you are, I wanted to ask your opinion. Why do you think it is that tag team wrestling isn't really the forefront like it was in the 70s and the 80s, and is there anything that could be done to return it to its former glory?
Well, that's a really good question. What I think is they're not basing a lot of this stuff on your tag team, so they're just basing it on, you know, one or two guys and not really the actual team. Back when we did a lot of tag team stuff, I don't know if you ever watched any of our stuff with me and Dennis Conger, we had a situation where we didn't have to say anything to each other. We had worked with each other for so long out of the Pensacola area. We won the Southeastern titles in Pensacola 13 different times. I went on with other partners there, and then we went on to win the AWA World Tags, and then we went into the WCW against Jim Cornette and his supposedly Midnight Express. But the tag team situation you're talking about is we had so much chemistry between us that we could just look at each other, nod our head, and the other one would know before we even tagged and know what we were fixing to do. So you have to have a lot of chemistry between tag partners to make it a really good tag situation.
So do you think maybe part of the problem is just random guys getting teamed up that don't have that chemistry? Maybe that's hurt the tag team matches some?
Exactly. Yes, that's a good assumption. Exactly. I think they have to have chemistry, and they actually have to be partners for a while and a long time in order to get that chemistry to make that tag team situation work.
Are there any teams that are currently active that you kind of think might have it?
I've seen these Uso guys, which are actually some of the better ones that are tagged together. And I guess just like we just said, they're probably family. They came up from the Samoans. And as a matter of fact, Alpha and Sika were once two of the biggest Samoan guys that helped train me back years ago when I was like 20 years old. And let me tell you what, them Samoans can whip your tail and make you like it and put you on the map. But the Usos are looking really good, and that's probably one of the ones that I've really held it in my history here.
Now, one of the things that, you know, like I see that is missing in the wrestling business is the car ride. You know, you get four or five guys together, you get a carload together, and you drive from town to town, and you're working shows every day. Now most shows only work Fridays or Saturdays, and they really, you know, some guys fly themselves in or get flown in and things like that nature. How important do you feel was the car riding in the territory day to creating the chemistry and the bond and the family type atmosphere in the territory?
Well, this is Mr. Wrestling, too. I'll tell you something. I never had that privilege to go in, up and down the road with four or five guys in the car. My partner
That's
and
right.
I used to go a lot, and I'm talking about Tim Woods. He and I were
right.
closer together than anybody in the business.
Let me interrupt here right here just a second. Let me interrupt. This is Randy Rose again. It's because he didn't have a bunch of guys riding with him because he drove so damn fast at 80 and 90 miles an hour, everybody was scared to ride with him.
Now, I got a question for Mr. Wrestling, too, as well. Is it true that Jimmy Carter was one of your biggest fans?
Yes, sir. She certainly was. She was. It was a woman that I took extremely a lot of respect from. I had an interview with her at her home in Plain, Georgia, and we came. And I came, drove up over there. And they had state patrol and all kinds of security on this place. But I tell you what. We went in the back, he was at the door calling for me. I came over there, and we went to go in that little room back in the back of her house. And her sister, I guess it was nearby at the time. And
what we're referring to real quick, just so we can touch base. Jimmy Carter's mother is who we're speaking about right now. Jimmy Carter was, in fact, one of Mr. Wrestling's biggest fans, but I think the rivalry of his mother liking Mr. Wrestling 2 far went beyond what Jimmy Carter did. So that's what Mr. Wrestling 2 is referring to.
Okay.
So, Mr. Wrestling 2, exactly how did it come about that you would don the mask and become Mr. Wrestling 2? Because you were wrestling before a mask, if I remember correctly.
Well, you know, I tell you something. I kind of want to get back to Miss Lillian Carter. She, like I said, invited me back into her home, and we turned around and told her sister, I don't want to be disturbed at all. And I, like I told you, I had the highest respect for her, for the simple reason is that we sat and talked for almost 2 hours, and she never asked me to remove my mask. Well, let me tell you something. I didn't care at that time, no matter who I was with or where, the mask didn't come off. And that kind of gave me a lot of respect for her. Well, God rest her soul. But I tell you what, I still, even this day, I find the fans here in the state of Georgia to be probably more honorable than any place I've ever seen.
Well, are you guys familiar with any of the younger local talent that'll be working the show on Saturday?
No.
With Mr. Wrestling 2 residing in Hawaii, unfortunately,
yeah.
He probably doesn't have any other than, you know, what he would see if he came to a local show. But with him just sitting here from Hawaii, no, unfortunately not.
Have you guys had a chance to check out the WWE Network and see if there's any of your old matches on there? I'm not sure how much of it would be on there.
This is Randy again there. Is this Jonathan we're talking to?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, your question was, do we have a chance to look at the WWE Network? Not. I've heard some of the old fans like fellas that there's some of that stuff on there though. But as the first deal with me and Dennis Condrey and all and Paul Lee Dangerously, we were on ESPN for years and they still play some of that old stuff back. And also too, I have a little bit of a difference on that. Is they're playing some of the WWE stuff back. As a matter of fact, I've seen some DVDs of our stuff in the Chicago pay-per-view was one of our last matches with Midnight Against Midnight. And I don't know about this one, and I can't really say it because my money is not handy, but they're selling that, and I'm not making any money off of it.
Oh, wow. You're not making any money off of it at all?
No. It's called, you know, when the country western stars get their songs played on the jukebox in the Nashville Honky Tonk, they always got residuals for them. Well, I'm not getting any residuals, but we don't need to go.
Oh, yeah, that's probably because the way that those Turner contracts were probably worded, and then when Vince bought, yeah, I didn't think about that. Holy cow, that kind of stinks, actually.
Yeah, I remember that was a bit of a concern when they first started talking about doing the WWE Network, is how they're going to pay all the people whose footage is being used there. That's the first I've heard about anybody who is actually not getting anything, though.
Right. Well, I'm one of the guys that ain't getting nothing.
So, this is for both of you guys. What is your all-time favorite match in the history of your career, especially for like a newer fan listening to the show who doesn't know a lot about you guys? What would be the one match that you would say, hey, you know, go if you can find this match, go watch it? What would be that one match for you guys about your guys' career, of course?
Well, this is Wrestling 2 again. The one match that I took great pride on was probably with Jack Briscoe. He was a world champion champion of Florida at one time, and he was an outstanding wrestler. I thought he was just really, really great. And we were in Orlando, Florida at this one time, and we had a match, and we went to 90 minutes Broadway, and the people just went crazy. Jack and I, we had a wrestling match. As you well know, or most people do, that Florida is very high in amateur wrestling. Well, Jack and I went out, and we gave him some wrestling, and I mean tough wrestling. And when it was all over, the whole crowd, everybody in there, gave us a standing ovation. That's something you don't get from many people.
And for you, Randy?
Yeah, probably one of my greatest matches in the end of, along with the end of my career, would have been original Midnight Express against the Midnights, 1988 Great American Bash pay-per-view.
That's a great match. I've watched that one at least 15 times.
Well, so you guys are going to be in attendance at the show on Saturday. Are you going to be part of the show, or will you just be there to sign autographs and meet fans, or what will you guys be doing exactly?
Yes. Yes, actually, we will definitely be in attendance there. Mr. Russell Pugh has came here from Hawaii, and he's going to be there. And we will be signing autographs. There will be announcing a lot of the legends that's going to be there, too. And if I didn't have this bad hip, I'd be trying to get in the ring there. And Mr. Russell, you have to hold him back, too, because he still has his tendencies of wanting to get in that ring again. But it's going to be a great evening, I guarantee you, for the fans, for all the guys, for the legends and everything. And there again, we're going to say it. May 3rd is going to be one of the greatest things that I believe that LN Promotions, Todd Howard and Terry Lawler has done for Mr. Wrestling 2 here. And I just think it's phenomenal, and I appreciate everything that they've done here for them. They're going to put on a heck of a show like they always do. And I think it's going to be one of the greatest tributes to one of the greatest stars in the history of Georgia wrestling.
And, Todd, is there a website, or do you want to direct people to where they can buy tickets and all the other pertinent information?
All right. This is what we got going on, Jonathan. You can go to our website, which is LNPro, Larry, Nancy, PRO. That is our Facebook. Our website is www.lnpromotions.com. We have already cut off pre-sale tickets due to the fact that it's gotten so close to the show. I will tell you that we have had special t-shirts to get into this event. We have a good run of these. They're going to be first come, first serve on these shirts because it was very important that, you know, we wanted the fans again to have a memory of the show and to have something with Mr. Wrestling, too, that we can remember this by. So we're going to have, when the doors open at 6 p.m., we're going to have T-shirts. We're going to have event posters. We're going to have event flyers that the fans can come and get and buy. I mean, we're just trying to do it right and honor Mr. Wrestling, too. And I just couldn't be happier with the, you know, event happening. And one of my childhood memories of seeing Mr. Wrestling, too, it's just an honor to be a part of this for Terry and myself, and we really just can't express how much it means to have this event.
And what time does the doors open, and what time is the bell time?
Okay, our doors open at 6 p.m. with a bell time of 7 p.m.
All right. Well, is there anything else that we need to know about this event before we let you guys go?
Get there early because we're planning on packing this house up and selling it out.
All right. Well, again, we appreciate you guys giving us a call, and it's great to talk to you. And I hope everything goes well, and hope you sign lots of autographs this weekend.
Well, gentlemen, thank you on behalf of Mr. Wrestling 2, Randy Rose, and myself. Thank you for having us tonight. We do appreciate it.
No, thanks for coming on, guys.
God bless you, man.
Thank
all
you.
Right, we'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so Mr. Wrestling 2 and Randy Rose, that was fun talking to those guys. But there are many other shows this Saturday, maybe one of the busiest that I've seen in recent weeks. Actually, there's looks like Hard Times Championship Wrestling is running on Thursday in Douglasville.
Really?
Yeah, and I know they've got some different people running things since we talked to Taco a couple months ago here. And I was actually thinking of having someone in charge there give us a call and kind of give us...
Oh, please, don't even waste our time, dude. Seriously, that show's like... No. If you like... I think Jonathan just does this because he knows what's gonna happen on air is that I'm just gonna like lose control and just bash
yep.
them.
That is part of it, but I also I just see all these new promotions pop up and I'm curious, like, where did this come from and why is there another new one when there's all these other ones still running that, you know, it just seems it's just
and I'm gonna sum that up in one word: ego. All these guys have a fucking collective ego where they don't – they all think they can – and, I mean, I'm just like that. I think I can do it better than all of you. I mean, I'm not going to fucking lie. I mean, Jesus Christ, give me $20,000 and I'll show you. Hell, give me $200,000 and I'll compete with TNA, which isn't too hard at this point. But, no, and that's what it is. It's a collective ego, but the problem is that they think they can do this certain thing – but they have no vision. There's no goal in mind. We're just going to run our wrestling show. It's going to be better than your wrestling show. I mean, OSWA is a perfect example. You're in Cornelia, Georgia, which is already pretty much owned and operated by NWA Anarchy / now just known as Anarchy Wrestling. It's got history. It's got longevity. You're not going to put them out of business.
It's also a tiny town.
You're not putting Anarchy out of business. Like it just doesn't make any sense. Like OSWA could go run Toccoa or I don't know, not run at all, but they decide to run Cornelia because they don't like what Bill Behrens is doing. Well, you know what? I don't like what Bill Behrens is doing either. I wouldn't put Michael Posey as my heavyweight champion of the world, but I'm also not going to go and directly run on the same day in the same town as Bill Behrens and the NWA Anarchy affiliate, because when they want to go to war, they can go to war. I know firsthand. And I was in completely opposite side of the fucking state. Same thing in like, you know, in all these other areas. And that's one reason why, like, it just doesn't make any sense. Scott East is another perfect example. Here's a guy that was working with UIW, and now he's going to run the same building they're running? What is this,
Chikara
in Combat Zone?
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you were familiar with Southern Extreme Championship Wrestling, because I heard about it a few years ago.
It's Scott East, you know, wanting to start another wrestling promotion because his other one didn't work out. Now he wants to start another one, which is fine. Okay, no problem. But you're going to run the same building of a place that you were just helping out, you know, weeks before, and then want to use the same talent. Makes no sense. It's ridiculous. There's three shows in Columbus, and if you combine those three shows, you still might draw double digits. It doesn't make any sense. And the guys aren't thinking about the long-term effects of not only of wrestling, but wrestling in Georgia. This state, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to get on a tangent here. This state at one time was the state. Ric Flair wrestled in this state all the time. Mr. Wrestling 2, who just got off, used to wrestle in the Omni and at the Atlanta Coliseum, and they used to put asses in seats in the city of Atlanta. You could
every
go
Friday night.
All over every Friday night. You could go to Griffin, Valdosta, Gainesville, all these venues and places, Rome, and they put asses in the seats every time they were in those towns, and those towns did good. And now those same towns, you can't draw 25. Because it's all
I can interject for 1 second. I think I have an answer to one of your questions there, Joshua.
This comes from an unidentified source of mine, but I've been told that HTCW exists because Stanley Somerville and his friends couldn't get booked, so his daddy created the company for him.
Right.
I don't even know what
that
means.
And you want to know what? You want to know why Stanley Somerville can't get booked? I've seen Stanley Somerville wrestle. Okay? I've seen Stanley Somerville wrestle. If you can't get booked, get better. If you can't get better, okay, go run your own show. Okay, I'll give it to you. But don't be surprised when someone else says, you know what, you fucking suck, you get bad critical reviews, and people stop going to your shitty restaurant. And yes, I'm using the restaurant metaphor again, because it just makes so much sense, because you can compare the two industries so easily. If you serve bad food, people will stop going. If your kitchen's full of cockroaches, people won't go. Now, we don't have the health inspectors, and we can't get you shut down because of that kind of crap. But you know what? If we start policing our own industry, we can. And that's going to start when the good promotions start working together and start saying, you know what? Don't work for those shows. Work for this show. Work for that show. Let's all work together. Let's all, you know, and we're going to have to share talent because there's not a lot of good talent in the state. Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm with you. Well,
just gets me so angry. Just stupid people. The entire business is just overrun with stupid people and liars. That's the other part that just boggles my mind. Is all the liars.
There are a few of those.
Oh, yeah. But anyway,
well,
Johnny, did you go to the training center yet?
Yeah, I'm actually up here at the main event in Porterdale waiting for the Platinum Crusader to show up. I'm going to show him a few of my old tricks for his big tag team match against Quasimandisco and MAME this weekend.
Is that who your partner is? Is the Platinum Crusader?
No, the Platinum Crusader has a partner. It's not going to be me because, you know, I'm not allowed in the building when Quasi's here. But
I got you. Okay, so you were at the NWA Atlanta show this past weekend, were you not?
Yes, I was.
How was that show? Did they draw very well?
I think it was around between 200 and 300. Could have been more, could have been less. But the match I was out there for, Matt Sells and Drew Adler, was phenomenal. They went damn near 30 minutes. Drew Adler damn near killed himself when he somersaulted into the crowd from the ring. And we unfortunately had a new NWA Atlanta Heavyweight Champion as Drew defeated Matt.
And Drew Adler is a great young talent and someone that I know firsthand from having to watch his matches and call his matches at Rampage. And he would be on the short list of guys that I would be willing to use for the new ECWE. Don't know if he wants to work for me, but that's on him. If he thinks that he can make money and sell tickets, then I would love to hear from him. But if not, you know, there's plenty of guys that are just as good, if not better, than Drew Adler. Speaking of which, Johnny Danger, you're one of those guys on that short list of talent that I would like to use. And I just want to throw it out there one more time, josh.wheeler717@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Facebook. I've had a few guys hit me up in the past few days. And, again, we're not trying to come out of the box and, oh, we're going to draw 500 people. What we're trying to do is start from a grassroots, you know, local Atlanta-based promotion. We are really – it's an Atlanta-based promotion, key phrase. And I want both of you two to know that, you know, I'd like to have working relationships with both of you guys with what we're trying to do. And at the same time, I want people to realize that we want to be a promotion with no handcuffs for the boys, okay? And when I say that, I'm not going to tell you that you can't do what you want to do unless you do it and it makes no sense. So here's the rule. And Johnny, you're a worker, so you can tell me if you like this or not. This is my only major rule. Do not do it because you're afraid that I'm going to yell at you. Do it and then face the repercussions. How do you like that?
You know, I like that. I was talking with some of the guys at PCW a few weeks ago, and I believe the expression was, don't ask for permission now, ask for forgiveness later.
There you go. That's it. So if you're working a match for the new ECWE and you do something that I go, that makes absolutely no fucking sense, I'm going to pull you to the side and say that makes absolutely no fucking sense. And you're going to explain yourself, and you better be able to explain yourself, but I want to see the South do, like, you know what, if you think that you can pull off a fucking moonsault off the fucking top of the fucking rafters, and you think that, well, we drew 150 this show, but if I do this moonsault of the rafters, it's going to draw 5 for the next show, you fucking do it, because that's more money for all of us. It's a win-win with the new ECWE. So I look forward for you guys. You know, hope, I want to work with a lot more guys, and you know what my track record says for itself, and I will be unveiling a working agreement that I come to yesterday afternoon, tomorrow on Facebook, and I think a lot of the guys in Georgia are going to be very excited about that working arrangement.
Yeah, looking forward to hear more about it.
Lots of big stuff going on.
Well, let's run down what's worth mentioning this coming up this weekend. We mentioned Scott East's new version of SECW. It's at the West Georgia Auto Auction on Friday in Temple. Saturday, as I mentioned before, there are lots of shows. In addition to the Mr. Wrestling 2 Classic, which is a star-studded event, there's also an event in Dalton that night that's called Wrestling Reunion. It features
Armstrong, the old,
Tommy Rich, Buff Bagwell, Mike Jackson, Moondog Rex, lots of other people. So,
wow, man, they're just bringing all the legends out for one freaking weekend. They might as well, see, again, you should just combine the shows and just have Legends Mania.
Yeah. I think it would benefit everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know, I love Mr. Wrestling too, and I love Randy Rose, and LN Promotions does a great job, and they're probably going to draw 500, 600, 700 people, maybe more. They're going to draw that because those guys have proven that they know what they're doing. The show in Dalton will probably draw 200, 300 people. Wouldn't you like to go to a show that's got over 1,000 fucking people? Wouldn't everybody want to work in front of 1,000 fucking people and not work in front of 253?
You'd think.
It's simple mathematics. But there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and yet nobody can cook good food. So there you go.
Also on Saturday, Flatline Pro Wrestling is in Grovetown. Let's see, what else? Peach State Wrestling Alliance is in Carrollton. And UIW, Universal Independent Wrestling, is in Villa Rica on Saturday. Platinum G Wrestling is in Porterdale. And I should mention, Professor Morte asked you, Montreal State Champion Wrestling is involved in two different events on Saturday. During the day at Odin's Comics in Lilburn for Free Comic Book Day, there will be matches beginning. I believe the matches begin at 1. The event begins at 11. The Casket Creatures are performing. There should be free comic books from all the major publishers. And there will be several local comic book artists on hand signing stuff and whatnot. And then later that night, MCW will be in Athens for AthCon, which you can find more about at ath-con.com. It's sort of like Dragon Con, it looks like, much smaller.
Yeah, AthCon, yeah, it's like a smaller version of Dragon Con. This is, what, the second year of it or third year of it?
I think it's the first year.
Is it really? Maybe they had something similar to this, like, years ago when I was in Athens that I was, like, kind of remember something about.
Well, I may be wrong, but my
understanding. They used to have all kinds of crazy events in Athens. I mean, of course, Twilight was this past week, and I used to live there forever, and I love the city, but hate the city at the same time, so.
So, no shortage of wrestling on Saturday, regardless of what kind you like.
Plenty of wrestling. You go watch Cool Moves at one promotion, Good Booking at another promotion. Go watch Mike Posey defend the heavyweight championship at another promotion. Go watch Little Kids Think They're Professional Wrestlers at the other promotion. And go watch Little Bitches Who Think That Daddy Can Let Them Wrestle at another promotion. And then if that doesn't work for you, you can go watch a lot of Legends at two other shows. That and all is what Georgia Wrestling has become. Every weekend, each and every day. And nobody films any matches for YouTube, and no one ever lets anyone take a picture of their crowd out of fear that people will see they only drew 49 people to the Olympics. But I think David Garrison, forget me that number. David Garrison's a new reporter in the Georgia scene. Don't know much about his work, but he did tell me 49 people to the Olympics. So fuck on that, people. 49 fucking paid to the Olympics, allegedly. Sorry. You guys know my feelings about that motherfucker. And on that note, I'm going to go piss. You guys have a good night.
All right, and we'll be back next Monday at 7 with guests to be announced this week.
thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.